You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't be jealous about the Browns running backs, even though we feel pretty good about them. It certainly is a position of strength, youth, and fiscal responsibility headed into the next season. We talked about them handing out our grades. We want to talk running backs, 216-578-0850. That's the way to do it. Also, we'll dip into the mailbag. Some NFL news as well today, making it official. Jameis Winston will declare for the NFL draft. He will come out, will likely be one of the top two picks in the draft. I don't see him getting past Tampa and Tennessee there at the top. Also, Scott McLuhan, considered by many to be one of the best scouts in the league. You talked about him being part of the brain trust that brought you to San Francisco, Matt. He is officially now signed and will run the personnel department and the roster right now for the Washington Redskins. And finally,
need some help there.
Kind of a shocking one is that Brian Schottenheimer has left the Rams, where he was the offensive coordinator of the team, the St. Louis Rams, to become the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach of the University of Georgia. So there is another offensive coordinator opening in the NFL now with the St. Louis Rams, and Brian Schottenheimer leaves the NFL to go and become an offensive coordinator in college, which is interesting. Peter Schrager from Fox saying, the last time I recall an NFL coordinator leaving to take a college coordinator job was Greg Madison leaving Baltimore for Michigan. So certainly an interesting
one. There's got to be, again, the back channels right now on the coaching carousel are flying 100 miles an hour, and there's got to be some connection, or these talks have had to happen for a long time. And I think also, too, it's got to be a unique circumstance or a significant amount of money for you to essentially take a coaching regression, which means, you know, going back to college. Or also, too, to be very honest, even though Brian Schottenheimer, a coach who has been on a staff that I've been a part of when his father was the coach in San Diego, it's very possible he could have been burnt out by the professional game, you know, and everything that goes into it. And because he is still a young, fresh mind when it comes to offensive football, maybe he's trying to put himself into the college head football coach mix, which would be much easier to crack as so many jobs become available. And his time would be better spent with younger people, growing them, nurturing them, recruiting them, as opposed to simply coaching them at a cutthroat level like the NFL.
Do you think that he was forced out of St. Louis? Do you think does that happen very often?
I don't believe so. And if reports came out early after the season that Jeff Fisher, of course, was going to stay, and very similar to the way Tom Coughlin just came out and said he wasn't going to touch his staff, Jeff Fisher said that his staff was going to remain intact. They love the direction. Brian Schottenheimer's name was at the top of the list of someone who could possibly leave, but Jeff Fisher solidified that he was going to stay. But, of course, he now left for a regression in some people's eyes going back down to college. And Perry Fuel, defensive coordinator of the New York Giants, has been – they've parted ways, which means he got fired. And Tom Coughlin, as I said a moment ago, was a guy who came out and said there'd be no changes to this coaching staff, and only a few days later he's let go as well.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting. St. Louis is going to have a new offensive coordinator, and that's a big step for him. You know, it didn't really work out for him in New York, as we know. Mike Pettine was on that staff as defensive coordinator, and then he went now to St. Louis. Hasn't really completely worked out either, and he's going to take his talents to the college level. Some others, according to Peter Schrager from Fox Sports, Van Gorder went from Atlanta to Auburn. Monty Kiffin, Tampa Bay to the University of Tennessee when Lane Kiffin was the coach of Tennessee. Charlie Weiss went from Kansas City Chiefs to the University of Florida, and Greg Robinson from Kansas City to Texas are four others who left coordinator positions in the NFL for coordinator positions in college.
Yeah, you wonder, how much of his frustration and this potential regression down to college has to do with something that we talked about the last coming days, or yesterday rather, as we talked quarterbacks with Sam Bradford. You know, you've got the number one overall pick, you've got a significant amount of money tied up in one player, and he cannot stay healthy. And I'm sure Brian Schottenheimer, every year that Sam Bradford was healthy, diagrammed an offense with assets around this one player. And when you lose that, again, you want to talk about murky or muddy situation, you're improvising an entire football season and trying to create a culture centered around what was centered around one guy. That now all changes. especially with the other quarterbacks that they've had playing there. Sean Hill and some of the other younger guys that they've had playing, they're filling in that role.
And think about all the assets they put around them. You know, they drafted Zach Stacy 2 years ago, Trey Mason this year. You've drafted Stedman Bailey. You've drafted Tavon Austin. You've drafted Chris Givens. You've drafted Brian Quick.
And an amazing defense, too.
You brought in Jared Cook. You brought in Kenny Britt. So, yeah, they have made a lot of moves there to try to help out that offense there in St. Louis. I'm sorry. All right, we're going to go into the Browns mailbag now. Again, the hashtag mailbag. Lots of questions coming in on this mailbag Wednesday. We'll bring in our great producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
I'm good, Gibbs.
It's Wednesday, man.
Hump day.
Come on now.
Have you seen that ad, Gibbs?
I have.
You know what I'm talking about? I think it's great.
I think we all need the have you seen the hump day t-shirts?
No.
That just have the Campbell humps?
No, they're the best.
Amazing.
I've seen those.
They're phenomenal.
That's fantastic.
We need a couple of those. All right. We're talking running backs today. First question off the bat from Larry Spencer III. I don't know about the second and the first, but the third tweeted at us. With fullback being in dire need and the staff so high on Winston, can you see him making the switch?
Glenn Winston to fullback.
Yes.
Ah, interesting. He's built. I'll give him that.
He is a large man.
The guy is in fine physical condition. I don't think that's what they would do. I think they would want to bring in more of a traditional fullback and actually get something out of him. I don't know that Winston would make that switch now. I think Glenn Winston would do whatever he had to do to stay here on this team. So it's always possible. But, you know, you could do that kind of like a Michael Robinson did, you know, transition into being a fullback. You've seen guys do that, but he's not really built like a fullback. I mean, he's jacked, but I don't know that he's built like
a
fullback.
But that all being said, is as a young player fights to stay on this roster, and again, as we talked about, one of the most talented positions with youth that you're getting value out of, does he, you know, maybe bulk up or take on that role? But then also, too, just as I talked about that veteran fullback that would come in here, you'd also get a significant upgrade in play on special teams. So Glenn Winston would partake in every coverage team. He'd be on punt return. He'd be on kickoff return. And also, to his role, an active role, which would be an upgrade for him as opposed to sitting as the third running back on this roster. He'd be an active part of the game plan. So it's not something I would put past this coaching staff.
No, it's certainly something very, very possible that we could see happen there. All right.
All right. Jason McNeil tweets at the show, at Browns_daily. This is an interesting one. Are the Browns hopeful that Cameron will stay? You know, we're talking coaches today, but what about Jordan Cameron?
I don't know if I think the Browns would be hopeful that Jordan Cameron would stay at the right price. I think Jordan Cameron wants to be a part of the turnaround here. He also has ties to California where his son Tristan is, so you could see him maybe moving west. I think that's one that will only work out if there is true mutual interest and the price is right. I think Jordan Cameron, obviously coming off that Pro Bowl season, struggled this year, not only in terms of his production, which was well down, 24 catches, 424 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, he had some big plays, led the team 17.7 yards a catch this year, but was often injured. He's now at the 3 concussions, so I think there are health concerns with him, long-term health concerns with Jordan Cameron. I hope that he has an opportunity to come back. I didn't think that he was utilized as well in this offense as I thought he might be, So I could – tight end is a position – a pass-catching tight end will be addressed for this team. I think whether it be the draft, free agency, or bringing back a guy like Jordan Cameron, that's possible.
I agree, and I think that I think there is mutual interest by both parties because of the upside that Jordan Cameron has. That being said, I think a lot of it will come down to money, but your last point about was he utilized properly, the way in which I think you see Jordan Cameron get utilized is a little bit of what we've seen, but a lot of the way that the Baltimore Ravens right now use Owen Daniels, a lot of those bootlegs, getting him out, getting him in the zones, getting the ball in his hands, and letting him be a playmaker down the field as well.
Well, he was most effective on a lot of those plays up the seam. That's where his big plays came, all kind of go routes on the seam, and that's where his athleticism has really lended itself. It hasn't really manifested itself as much on crossing routes where he catches it and runs, interestingly enough. But on those kind of deep balls down the seam, the vertical balls, that's where he's been able to be very, very effective so far for this team.
All right, another question for you. James Golombowski. Happy New Year, guys. Think Farmer is smoke screening or is a game-changing wide receiver in play in the first round?
I mean, I got to hope that it's in play because I do think you need to you have an issue here, obviously, with Josh Gordon. And is Josh Gordon going to be a part of this team for the future? We don't know. I think that it certainly is possible that Josh Gordon is not a part of this team next year, whether it come via trade or some other type of roster move. So I think that you do need to have that one good receiver. I thought we saw when Miles Austin went out, it really affected this team. Cash
Especially
Money Miles
down, yeah.
A huge impact on this team. So I don't think you can run out there with a wide receiver group that's all guys under 6 feet tall. I think you need some size. You need somebody. So there are some very good wide receivers that will be available to the Browns at number 12, Kevin White from West Virginia. I happen to be a big fan of. I think he could be very, very good. Devontae Parker from Louisville as well as somebody who could be there for this team at the wide receiver position. So I think there are some good options for the Browns. Now, you could also take a chance on a guy like Doriel Green Beckham, who would be the number one receiver pretty much any draft, but he's got serious off-the-field issues too, but you could get maybe a value on him in the second round. So we'll see. But I think that if – I hope they get a receiver. I don't know that it necessarily has to happen in the first round, but I hope they do get one, and I would rather it be a guy who fits that prototypical number one receiver mold. Now, there will be guys in free agency. I think you could bring in a Torrey Smith. Would be a great addition
Absolutely.
To this team.
Yes.
He's vertical. He knows this offense. He's played in it with Gary Kubiak in Baltimore. It's basically the same offense. So there are ways to go around it. But I personally hope that wide receiver is addressed. I do believe Ray Farmer doesn't think wide receivers, you heard him, they touch ball 10 times a game. I think he wants to drive competition at every position. But at the same time, I don't think that he views that as high a priority as some other positions on this team.
My take on this is the fact that coming out of this season, he saw the value he got out of some veteran free agents in Miles Austin and Andrew Hawkins and the play of Taylor Gabriel and Travis Benjamin on filling that role. But if we find the right guy at franchise quarterback, you want to link him with some franchise wide receivers. And I think right now, that was fresh off the season, and that was fresh in his mind. And we're so premature into the scouting process
Sure.
right now. Of you know, at some point, Ray Farmer and his staff are going to start evaluating these wide receivers. They're going to fall in love with one of them if it's a need of our team at the combine, at the Senior Bowl, whatever it is. And at some point, we're going to be linked to that guy at 12th, 19th, or maybe, again, in the second or third round. And so it's just very early in the process, but I think it's got to be something you upgrade because, again, Miles Austin only has so many years left. Josh Gordon is a big question mark. You've got, you know, Hawkins for, what, another year or two under contract, and otherwise you've just got some, you know, some young guys that have exceeded expectation.
No question.
All right, guys, one final question for us here. This coming from Jim Rasick. Is Ndamukong Suh a real possibility in free agency? Does he fit the Petten scheme? Is that the mean streak that we need on this
you
team?
You fit the scheme to Ndamukong Suh because of the player he is.
He would be that unbelievable. I think in the 3-4, he'd play one of the DN spots and be just an absolute.
Line me up behind him.
He would be a monster. I hope it's possible. Listen, he's probably going to cost north of $20 million, so that's a massive investment. But if you want to talk about turning around the attitude of this franchise in one day and the toughness and bringing a guy that's going to wreak havoc on a defense for a defensive head coach, it is Ndamukong Suh. The Browns are going to have the room to do it. And, you know, given the way that things are, you know, some teams have a $20 million quarterback on their payroll. The Browns are going to have a quarterback for cheap because nobody on the free agent market is commanding. And they have running backs for cheap. So I hope it's possible. I think he could be a massive impact player on the defense and immediately make this defense one of the top Ds in the NFL. I hope it's possible. I don't know if financially it will be, and I don't know if it fits into the overall long-term scheme of this organization, but I'd love to see Ndamukong Suh play here for the Browns.
I really don't know or care if it's financially possible, but I'm just going to entertain this opportunity right now with him being a Brown. And if you listen to us all season long, we talked about Ataba Rubin standing up at the line of scrimmage. No activity along that defensive line. We saw that in flashes from Phil Taylor earlier in the season and definitely at night against the Cincinnati Bengals on that Thursday night when he played, you know, roughly 25 snaps and made a significant impact. The other guy, John Hughes. John Hughes plays, he's active. He's a penetrator. He moves along that defensive line. And Ndamukong Suh is going to wreak havoc. It's going to make Carlos Dansby's job easier. It's going to make... Think about you're going to get consistent one-on-ones with Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo, Jabal Sheard. You're going to be able to, you know, you're getting, not only are you getting a penetrator, you're getting a guy who can take a double team and split a double team, but he can take two. And when he takes two, that leaves Dansby and Robertson and Kirksey coming on those inside blitzes in one-on-ones on running backs, which is a favorable position for you to be in as a linebacker.
He changes everything. And you look at, listen, that's why one of the main reasons why the Detroit Lions were one of the best defenses in the National Football League. When we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we're going to wrap things up with Ernest Biner. one of the great running backs in Browns history. He will join us to talk about the Browns running backs and his new book, which is very exciting. So we'll have that coming up right after this here on ESPN 850 WKNR.